Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and it's time for a podcast. We are going to talk about a very important topic for women, a very important topic of menopause. I really hate that word, and I think we need to rebrand it. It should be termed, you know, woman on fire period of time. Period of life where you have irregular periods, hot flashes, hormonal changes. If you're experiencing any of these symptoms, age 45 or older, chances are you may be going through some menopause. You're going to hear some sound effects in the background because I am in Monaco and I'm driving by my wonderful chauffeur, Aurelion, and he's taking me to the Monaco Bay Hotel where we're going to work on a project with Galderma. So excited to lecture here this week. So ignore those sound effects. But back to the story. Actually, perimenopausal symptoms can start very early. Those of us who've had irregular periods since we were 35, you know what I'm talking about. Many of you have had your ovaries removed or you're on tamoxifen for breast cancer therapies. So changes of menopause and perimenopausal symptoms affect women at many different ages. And while most women will experience menopause at some point in their lives, statistics show that 75% of them don't actually know how to alleviate the symptoms that come along with this. And this is because we have male-driven medicine. Sorry, guys, but we do. We've had research driven by males. We've had companies run by males. I think if men had to experience symptoms of menopause, we would have a cure sooner than we had a man on the moon, because it's very difficult. And modern medicine, including most OB-GYN doctors, even including most women OB-GYN doctors, minimize the importance of treating these symptoms. And the crisis of not giving women hormone replacement therapy or estrogen, it all began in the 70s with a lot of studies that were released with premature results that scared people into thinking any doses of estrogen would cause cancer and breast cancer risk. But current thinking is very different. So if you're a person who's suffering from symptoms, it's so important to find a practitioner who's not scared to prescribe the important hormone replacements that are going to help you. In this podcast, we're going to go over things you need to know about menopause and how it affects your skin, how depletion of your estrogen changes your life, and what we need to do to treat that. So let's start with a definition. What is menopause? It is referred to as the change. Menopause is that point in time when a woman has gone 12 consecutive months without her menstrual period. And in simpler terms, it just marks the end of having a really regular menstrual cycle, and it's accompanied by all kinds of hormonal shifts and changes. And overall, menopause can be broken down into three main stages. Step one is perimenopause. This is the natural transition towards menopause. It can happen anytime, typically between the ages of 45 to 55. It's called perimenopause or around menopause, and it usually lasts a long time. It can last anywhere from 7 to 14 years, but the duration varies depending on lifestyle factors and genetics. Your hormones will begin to decline, and both estrogen levels and progesterone levels begin to fluctuate. In a study that was conducted with 1,039 women who were aged 40 to 65 across the United States, this showed that nearly half of them, 45%, didn't know the difference between perimenopause and menopause. So you are officially in stage two of menopause when you've passed this point of 12 months without a period. And that seems arbitrary, but this is the official end and the retirement of your reproductive system. The body is not going to have ovaries releasing eggs or secreting estrogen and progesterone levels that support fertility and pregnancy, implantation of eggs, and sustainability of a pregnancy, mainly because you're no longer releasing eggs. Stage three is postmenopausal. And at this point, you get to see the end of the fluctuating hormone spikes that can cause the night sweats and some of the mental fog and the changes that people have with menopause. The hormone levels will begin to stabilize, symptoms begin to ease and subside, and a sense of relief begins to settle in. In that same study we mentioned before, 59% of postmenopausal women reported feeling happier when this transition point came from menopause to postmenopausal. What kind of signs and symptoms can you expect to see during your menopause? So some of them include irregular periods, heavy bleeding, trouble sleeping, hot flashes, we've all heard of that, loss of bladder control or incontinence, drier vaginal area, mood swings, irritability, stress, depression, noticeable weight gain. That sounds like COVID too, but these are real physiologic changes that your body is experiencing, and you are not going crazy, you're not losing it, you are noticing real change within your reproductive system. Your symptoms can definitely be treated. There are a few ways you can alleviate menopause symptoms. To help with mood swings, try using relaxation and stress reduction techniques like meditation, deep breathing, sometimes supplements over the counter like vitamin B6 or St. John's wort can help. If you have severe depression, you must see your doctor and talk about antidepressant therapy. If you are having incontinence issues, your urologist can certainly help you and your OB/GYN doctor. Remember that Kegel exercises help with incontinence, but sometimes there's just loss of sphincter control. And there are treatments we can do now with lasers and tightening devices that will help improve continence in the pelvic floor. For your hot flashes and night sweats, one of the most annoying symptoms of perimenopause and menopause, you know, make sure to dress in light pajamas, carrying a handheld fan, drinking cool water throughout the night, keeping a frozen pack under your pillow. These are all little tricks that can help. And there's some electronic devices now. There's a wrist device, which places a cooling element over your blood flow of your radial artery so that when you do have a perception of a sweat or a spike, when your hypothalamus is acting up and triggering the increased rise in body temperature, the cooling mechanism kicks in on this device and sends a message to shut down the heat. So there are some cool devices out there you just need to read about and check into technologies that may help you. Lab tests are sometimes done to diagnose your menopause and your hormone levels. We check levels of follicle stimulating hormone and estrogen or estradiol. Because typically your FSH or follicle stimulating hormone levels increase and your estradiol levels decrease as menopause occurs. Sometimes we'll check TSH or thyroid hormone to be sure you're not having symptoms related to low thyroid. And you can do home tests as well. I recommend seeing your doctor so they can treat you more definitively and take a look and, you know, have a conversation about hormone therapy. Estrogen therapy is the most effective treatment option for relieving menopausal hot flashes. But this all depends on your personal and family history. Your doctor definitely will ask you about breast cancer history. If you have not had a hysterectomy, you may also need to take some levels of progestin in addition to estrogens. Remember that estrogen, as long as you haven't had breast cancer in your family or yourself, is so critical for bone loss. Estrogen helps prevent bone loss and bone density change. Estrogen helps prevent collagen breakdown in the skin. And while sometimes long-term use of hormones can be implicated in cardiovascular or breast cancer risk, starting hormones at the time of menopause has some great benefits. So talk to your doctor about the risks and find out if it's right for you. Sometimes instead of a systemic estrogen, we'll use a topical, we'll use a patch, we'll use vaginal estrogen suppositories. All of these things can help with dryness. Antidepressants certainly can help, like serotonin inhibitors. And it's a good idea to listen and talk to someone who can give you advice on these topics. People who have nighttime hot flashes and can't use estrogen therapy, there are some other drugs available like gabapentin, clonidine patches, and if you're developing bone density change or osteoporosis, remember vitamin D supplements are going to be so important. Now, what are bioidentical hormones? Of course, we've heard this term. This term implies that these hormones are chemically identical to ones that your body produces. So they're sometimes commercially available, already premixed. Sometimes they're compounded. Sometimes they're injected as a pellet under the skin. But in general, there's no evidence that taking these is less risky than regular hormone therapy. So just because they say it's bioidentical does not mean it's less risky. There are certain supplements over the counter like black cohosh, which has been popular. But if it works for you, you're going to try it. There's evidence that it helps some people, but it can be harmful to the liver and it can be unsafe if you have a history of breast cancer. You may have heard of or tried other dietary supplements like red clover, kava, DHEA, or evening primrose oil, or yam. And these are all products that help stimulate natural progesterone levels. So there is lack of scientific evidence in the supplement industry in general. Some of these products have harm. So talk with your doctor before taking anything that's considered an herbal remedy. And in terms of going to see the doctor, ask your important basic questions and ask how you can get these treated. It's important because a lot of times doctors who are not comfortable with hormone replacements may just avoid the conversation or tell you to just age gracefully and let it all stop functioning, suffer through, and you will be fine. They may not feel comfortable with prescribing hormone therapy. So make sure you do your research and see someone who has experience with this. Now, how does this loss of estrogen affect the skin and our appearance? The decline in estrogen levels can also drastically affect both health and appearance of the skin, mainly by decreasing collagen production and increase in your fine lines and wrinkles, giving you thinner and looser skin with less dermal density. We get dryness, we have changes in oil production, we get hormonal breakouts or adult acne. Unfortunately, we also get pigmentation. As hormone levels fluctuate, pigment can form. There are many studies that demonstrate that menopause affects the skin. One study from 2013 showed that collagen can decrease as much as 30% in the first 5 years of menopause. Another study from 2018 showed that dark circles worsened in postmenopausal women who slept less than 5 hours a night, and this could lead to increased transepidermal water loss. So what comes first, the chicken or the egg? So is it lack of sleep related to menopause symptoms and night sweats that leads to tired under eye circles, or is it transepidermal water loss related to less water content held in the skin? And it's a little bit of both, if you ask me. I think it's a little bit of both. But we have solutions. Because the loss of collagen production occurs during menopause, many of us in skincare have suggested using collagen stimulators. So what can you use? You can use ingredients like growth factors, stem cell growth factors, peptides, retinols, and I think these are the critical things to help improve the skin. You can also use collagen peptides that you ingest orally, microneedling that you perform topically, and Botox and fillers, of course, that you inject and use topically. Part of aging during menopause also includes losing moisture in the skin. And ingredients with hyaluronic acid, glycerin, and ceramides will definitely help to lock in hydration. I love my skincare line. The Deep Blue Hydration Serum has been a lifesaver. And I use that quite often, twice a day. I'm also a huge fan of the Collagen Stimulator, which is a hyaluronic-based, really lovely product. It's like your skin drinks water when you put it on. And that is called my Liquid Line Refine. I'm also a big fan of our Night Quench, which is a great moisturizer that kind of locks in moisture without greasiness. And don't forget, high-dose Retin-A. If you've been on Retin-A before, perfect, good for you. If you're over 30 and you're not using Retin-A, why aren't you? You need to, and you use it from 30 on up to 99. Retin-A every day, use it twice a week until your skin gets used to it. Use a pea-sized amount, mix it with a quarter-sized moisturizer. You don't need a lot. Do use Retin-A everywhere, including a slight touch of it on the under eyes, around the eyelids. Expect to have some mild peeling and dryness, but with this regimen of twice a week, lots of moisturizer and hyaluronic serums, you're going to be able to handle it. You will see skin improvements. Very nice skin improvements are coming. When you start these projects, you are going to finish with nice skin improvements and visible change. Well, and then some final thoughts about menopause. We all age, and even though there are lots of downsides that come with aging, menopause is definitely one of the downsides, but it doesn't mean we should regret it. Aging is a privilege. I heard that quote during a conference that said, aging's not a predicament, aging is a privilege. And some of your systems of your body adjust, change, and decrease their amplitude of hormone production. That probably is, to some extent, just normal. But your body has the ability to turn on positive and negative biofeedback loops. So if you're really suffering and your hormones are dropping, you can take exogenous hormones. And don't ignore the problems that you're having. Do keep interviewing doctors until you find one who believes, as you do, that there are things they can do to improve quality of life. Because you don't have to disregard your symptoms. You don't have to push away hormones. You may be a candidate for that. And hopefully after listening to this podcast, you'll feel more confident about how to prepare for this next chapter. Perimenopause is happening earlier and earlier to women, even starting in their 30s. So if something is just not right with your system, your mentation is slow, your thinking is sluggish, your skin feels dry, you know, you just don't have your mojo, it's not a problem to go look at that even as early as age 30, because honestly, the age of perimenopause is dropping to very young. And the age of full-blown postmenopausal change can strike any time. It's definitely treatable. It's definitely a conversation you need to have. Don't necessarily jump on the bandwagon of bioidentical hormones and pellets and things just because everyone's doing them, but do take time to read and do take time to find a practitioner like an OB-GYN who's going to really help you improve your quality of life and not just tell you, like, this is what happens to women. Well, guys, it's a very important topic. It's something no one talks about. I thought we should start the conversation. I'd love to hear your questions. Don't forget, you can message me on Instagram, send me a DM anytime. Reach out to us through email. It's info@beautybydrk.com. Don't forget, we have a Tuesday podcast and also a short 5-minute Friday. If you're not already subscribed to the podcast, we'd love it if you could like and subscribe. And follow us on all our social handles. It's Beauty by Dr. K. And our website is the same, www.beautybydrk.com. That's where you can try our skincare products. Definitely get some retinol-based products going, like our high-dose retinoid regenerator. And you're also going to be a huge fan of our hyaluronic acid and collagen stimulator, Liquid Line Refine. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.